This is Express FM.
Supported by Highbury College. We are passionately pumping.
Jamal Lowe's onside. The flag stayed down. Jamal Lowe, nonchalant, brilliant. Pompey will be promoted at this rate.
Cheltenham Town, that'll stick in my mind forever.
Pure, unadulterated Pompey.
You can't be involved with this football club and not be emotional. The club is special.
Action and reaction.
It's an exciting challenge. I'm proud to be the manager of Portsmouth.
Giving Pompey fans a voice.
The whole stadium erupted singing Play Up Pompey. It was a surreal moment.
To do it with a club like Portsmouth was just incredible. That was the reason why I joined the club.
This is the Football Hour.
The one team that stands out, that's historic, that's had great success, that has a fan base that is amazingly passionate, is Portsmouth.
The Yellows were expecting more green next to their name on the table, but instead it was the Blues who came away with the points.
Johnson sends a cross into the penalty area. A header is into the back of the net, and Portsmouth have the lead.
A flash of white brilliance handed Pompey the win after a dismal run of back-to-back defeats. Assistant boss Joe Gallen was pleased to see the side back to winning ways on Tuesday night.
We needed 3 points and the players played very well tonight and have shown a lot of good spirit and scored a very good goal. So overall the plan was to come here and get a result and the lads have done that.
Between now and 7 o'clock we'll also hear the post-match thoughts of Harvey White, who is willing to do whatever it takes to retain his place in the squad.
Every time I get on the pitch, it's an opportunity. Obviously, didn't play in my normal position centre midfield, but so Gaffer gives me the confidence to go and play or do a job anywhere. I was thinking to myself, just go out there, perform and get the 3 points.
But most of all, we're looking forward to hearing from you, the Pompey fans, on tonight's show. Were you impressed with how Pompey bounced back in midweek? Is Ronan Curtis best suited to be the Blues' second striker? And despite a clean sheet on Tuesday, would you like to see Jack Watmore reintroduced for tomorrow's visit of Gillingham? Head over to expressfm.com for all the details on how to get in touch with the show. A very good evening, good afternoon, or even good morning to you, wherever you're listening to the Football Hour on Express FM.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Once again, welcome to another instalment of the Football Hour here on Express FM, supported this season by our friends at Stagecoach Across the South. Fast, reliable and safe, all whilst doing their bit to go green too. On tonight's show, we've got two more Blues fans waiting to give their thoughts on the past week at the club. The three of us will be analysing all of the big talking points from Tuesday's trip to the Kassam Stadium. We'll hear the post-match thoughts of Joe Gallen and Harvey White, and we will also be going over the latest figures from the EFL, who have published results from the last week's round of COVID-19 testing. And of course, a preview of tomorrow's league fixture against Gillingham awaits us towards the end of the hour. But we're going to dive headfirst into this episode, just like we always do, by hearing the highlights of Pompey's last outing. The Blues made one of the shortest journeys of the season to the Kassam Stadium, where League One's most informed team, Oxford United, waited for match day number 29. Kenny Jackett's side were hoping to bounce straight back following a string of defeats in the previous week against Bristol Rovers and Blackpool, calling this one from the comfort and warmth of the Fratton Park boardroom. Andy Moon and Guy Whittingham.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
A wonderful goal!
Every second of the action is right here.
Shoots and scores!
90 minutes of passionately Pompey commentary.
He scored!
This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Pompey Live.
If you're looking for omens for Portsmouth's losing run to come to an end this evening, the Blues have drawn their past four matches with Oxford United. But it's hard to look at the Kassam Stadium without thinking back to the last visit here and the penalty shootout defeat that ended Pompey's championship dream for another season after one of the most forgettable 2 hours of football you could ever witness. Now we're really underway at the Kassam Stadium. Moore comes forward. Nice ball. This is well worked from Oxford. Chance to break into the penalty area. Shot on goal and McGilvery just about tips it behind from James Henry. A second corner for Oxford, 0-0. Callum Johnson sends a cross into the penalty area. A header is into the back of the net. And Portsmouth have the lead. And it's Harvey White with his first goal for the club. A beautiful cross. And White buries his header into the top corner. It's Oxford 0, Portsmouth 1. In the ball comes towards the far post and Oxford get the first header. That's a chance. And it's wasted by Henry and it's behind for a goal kick. Possibility for a shot from distance. It comes in. Great save. McGilvery loose in the box. Brown blocks it once, twice and then clears away. Danger here because Oxford playing through Portsmouth. Shadipo in the area. Great save from McGilvery and Naylor can clear
clear it away. How have Pompey opened up so easily? And for the second time in a matter of minutes, it's McGilvery who saves them. Brannigan looping ball into the box. Ruffles gets his header. It hits Williams. Barker's going to pick it up. There's time for one more ball into Portsmouth's penalty area. Unless Cannon can bock it. It's a good one to the far post. Pompey header. McGilvery tips over the bar. And it's behind for a corner kick. The final whistle's gone. There's not time for the corner kick. And Craig McGilvery has made three saves in stoppage time to ensure that Portsmouth win this game by a goal to nil. A pretty dramatic ending, but Portsmouth have got there in the end.
Every second of the action is right here. This is 93.7 Express FM. Pompey Live.
So those there were the highlights of the Blues' 1-0 win over Oxford United in midweek. Pompey's first league victory at the Kassam Stadium since August 2014, when Craig Westgar scored the only goal of that League 2 clash to also give Pompey a 1-0 victory. Joining me tonight to go over that game, first and foremost, I'd like to welcome back onto the show Tom Malley. Tom, a very good evening to you, mate, and thanks for calling in.
Pleasure as always. Good evening to you,
Tom. So, to Tuesday night then, Tom, an extremely important win for Pompey after last week back-to-back defeat.
Yeah, absolutely. Massive win. Games you probably would have wanted to win against Bristol Rovers and Blackpool, so to hit back against a promotion rival and a team as in good as form as Oxford were was huge, and I think definitely a big message sent out from the squad with that one.
Yeah, and alongside you, Tom, this evening, we have Rob Calcutt. Rob, great to hear from you as well, and thanks for joining us tonight.
Evening, Jake. Thank you for having me on.
So, as Tom just mentioned there, a great result on Tuesday evening against an Oxford United side who, going into the game at the Kassam Stadium, were the most informed team in League One over the past 10 and 15 matches. Pompey really doing a Pompey, you know, being defeated against the likes of Blackpool and Bristol Rovers last week and going and beating one of the strongest teams in the league. But we'll take that all day long.
Yeah, it was also nice to get a win over them after last summer's heartbreak, especially at the Kassam. But considering the recent form, it was nice to finally get a win.
Yeah, and it was a deserved win as well, wasn't it, Tom? It wasn't a smash-and-grab victory by any means. Pompey really controlled that match from the off, really. Oxford had their flashes, in particular towards the end of the game. We'll come on to that in a few moments' time. But Pompey, from start to finish, looked assured, looked comfortable, and defensively quite solid too.
Absolutely, and it was probably the performance that we've been looking for in the past two games, and it wasn't quite there. And I think that, you know, the boys really stepped up their game for this one. And like you said, it was much more confident, much more assured, and definitely the sort of signs of a team that we know can do things in this league.
Yeah, and of course, there's still a long way to go in League One this season, Rob. I believe it's now 17 matches. Saturday against Gillingham will be match day number 30. We'll come on to preview that game a little later in the show. But, you know, a reaction on Tuesday against Oxford, like we say, a strong team. But although that could definitely be the turning point when we reflect back upon this season at the end of the campaign in May, it's also important now for Pompey to go up against Gillingham on Saturday, who, okay, you know, we'll say this with, you know, no disrespect intended, but a team on paper we definitely should be beating if we're going to assert ourselves as contenders for top two. We need to be winning this game on Saturday in order to make Tuesday's efforts all the more worth it.
Yeah, it has to be a win. We've got to get some sort of momentum going, particularly if you want to be pushing for promotion, even top two, as you said. And as you said as well, it's no disrespect to Gillingham, but you look at where they are on the table and you look at where we are, it should be an easy win. Yeah. But you also look at this season's home form, as particularly recently, and it's not been great. So get a win tomorrow at home. And it would generate some really good momentum, I think.
Yeah, and whilst it does remain true, Tom, you know, it is a fact, but in this division, in any league really, all over the world, anyone can beat anyone. You've got to respect, you know, all of your opponents in every given matchday scenario, and Gillingham will be like no other, like Blackpool last week, like Bristol Rovers on the form they were in going into that match. But do you feel as though Pompey have given a little bit too much respect to these sides over the past couple of seasons? You know, like we say, you've got to be wary of these teams, but at the end of the day, when it all comes down to it, Pompey are a promotion, you know, chasing team. We need to be picking up wins during these games. End of.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that run we went on before Christmas, where we saw off a number of teams in the top six, but then we sort of take our foot off the gas when it comes to teams further down the table. I don't know if that's a mental thing or something to do with tactics, but we do give teams further down the table too much, you know, too much opportunity to go and do damage to us. So it, Gillingham, like you said, a game we should win on paper, but then again, as I mentioned earlier, you know, they are a bit of a bogey side to us, especially at Fratton Park. So just because we're a sort of a big fish in a small pond doesn't mean every win's guaranteed.
Yeah. We've got a text in from Roger in Gosport. Evening, Jake Cumber. Lads, let's hope we are back to winning ways. All the games are tough ones now. Don't change the team, Mr. Jacket. We are still on course. Keep the faith, Roger in Gosport. If, like Roger, you'd like to get in touch with the show this evening between now and 7 o'clock, you can. All the usual ways. It's at ExpressFM if you're on Twitter. Text your name and message starting with the word Express to 81400. Email Pompey at expressfm.com or go to facebook.com/PompeyLive. Tom, Rob, I'll come back to you both in just a few moments' time. But now it's time to get the thoughts of Joe Gallen, who spoke to Ollie Marsh on the touchline following Tuesday's win at Oxford United.
You know, we wanted to come here and put on a good performance. I mean, obviously, we are looking and needed 3 points, and the players played very well tonight and have showed a lot of good spirit and scored a very good goal, you know, a very good cross and a very good header from Harvey White, who had a particularly good game. So overall, the plan was to come here and get a result, and the lads have done that.
You did have to hang on a little bit at the end. Was your heart in your mouth when Craig McGilvery made those two saves at the end?
Yes, because up until that point, there didn't seem to be too much of a threat. And up until that point, there wasn't many shots. I actually didn't really see it coming. So for them to get pretty much two clear-cut chances towards the end was something that is bringing on. Winner was already on, and then Taylor, so they're both goal scorers. So we know the players and we knew what to expect. Having said that, Craig's come up trumps twice, I think, and he's done very well for us this season. And two big saves at the end.
And for Harvey White, a first goal on his first start, you must be delighted for him personally.
Yeah, he's a fantastic person. Young players come from Tottenham, but I think one of the first things I said was he looks young but doesn't play young. And I'm just going to stick with that, because tonight I thought he had a very, very good performance. Left midfield, tucked in, not quite on the line or on the wing or anything like that. Tucked in and played very well, ran hard, shows good technical ability, passes forwards, and that was his first goal, I believe. In English football, and this particularly good header from him, which is he's in there, he's a little bit surprised by it all. So played very well.
Yeah, and of course it's not just a great header, it's a great ball in from Callum Johnson as well.
Yeah, I mean, on Saturday we said we're disappointed with the amount of crosses that we put in and didn't get a first contact, didn't get a header on goal, didn't score, didn't put a body on their players, and that was a big disappointment and something that that is not like us and something that we needed to put right. So we were encouraging Harvey to get into the box when there's a cross from the opposite side, and he's done that, timed his run brilliantly, and great cross. It was a, you know, particularly really pleasing goal and pleasing on the eye, wasn't it, the goal?
And Harvey was one of a couple of changes. Just talk us through those changes to the starting 11.
Well, yeah, spoke to Kenny. Obviously, Kenny's here tonight, and been speaking to him on the phone, and obviously prior to the game, and you know, he wanted to go with 4-4-2, a 4-4-2 formation, and make some changes, and he'd done that. We've done that a few times this season, maybe Charlton away. We did that with Michael Jacobs, and with Harvey Wright, we're looking for that balance on the left-hand side. We're not looking for a winger. We're looking for what we call a wide midfielder, and I think the formation worked well, and putting Ronan up front is something a little bit different. But again, Ronan, you know, rose to the challenge and put in give us a lot of physicality, a lot of running, a lot of energy up front. Also, equally with Ellis Harrison. So I think the manager's got the changes right tonight and picked a good formation.
Yeah, and you've bounced back after those two defeats. What's the mood in the dressing room like? Is it a bit of a sigh of relief?
Not quite, because we do feel we're capable of winning games. One win's just not enough, is it? We need to get on a run of wins. Can you win every game? No, of course, that's not going to happen for anyone. We need a run of wins. Hopefully this is the start of a run of wins. Got a tough game, though. Gillingham's very tough, always tough, very physical opponents. But if we have the right attitude and if we play with the right intensity and if we get around the pitch like we did tonight and show the same attitude, you know, we've got enough football in the final third to cause problems and score goals. So one win isn't enough. We're not relieved. We need a run of wins.
Assistant manager Joe Gallen there speaking after the full-time whistle at the Kassam Stadium. Rob, Joe mentioned at the end of that interview there, a very bold statement, but very true nonetheless. Win on Tuesday night, very impressive, very important for Pompey, but it's now a run of wins that the Blues need to go on if they need to, or if they want to, keep up with that top two.
Yeah, as I said earlier, it's all about generating momentum. You've got to get back the belief that you can, you know, get promotion, particularly with Pompey that's been trying and trying for years now in this league to get back to the Championship. It's, you've got to set the right mentality. So a big win against Oxford on Tuesday nights, particularly when we hadn't beaten them for about 7 years now,
yeah,
gives the players real confidence going to the game tomorrow and you know, get back to winning form as we had before Christmas.
Was Tuesday night, Tom, an example that Pompey seemed or tend to play a little bit better, seemed to up their game against the stronger teams in this division? Oxford United haven't been defeated at the Kassam in the league, at least since November, the most informed team in the division. But Pompey actually made it light work in midweek. Is that an example of the Blues actually playing to their strengths against the top sides in this division?
Yeah, it is. For some reason, I think this season in particular, we've just been really, really good against the top sides. We've beaten Peterborough, we've beaten Lincoln, we've beaten Hull, we've beaten Sunderland. You know, the top sides, we do step up our games. I just can't understand why we won't do it for all the teams in the division, because then we end up losing points, which we should gain. But like you said, it was a good performance, and we do seem to step it up against the good teams. So, you know, it's hoping that we can continue it for the rest of the season.
Mike T in Southsea, good evening to you, Mike. Great to hear from you. Says, good evening, Jake and the lads. I'm still buzzing from our Oxford win, an energy-fueled game where we showed a real passion to get the victory. Mike T in Southsea. And yeah, real energy in that performance, Robin. And none more so than Harvey White, who made his first professional Football League start on Tuesday night and got his first goal as well. What a performance and what a great finish too.
I thought it was brilliant in that game. I'll touch on Joe Gallen's interview just then. He said he looks young but doesn't play young. I think that's the perfect way to describe him. I thought it was such a mature performance. And that goal in particular, the way he just arrowed that header into the top left corner, especially with a very good cross from Johnson as well. But yeah, I thought he was really, really good the other night.
Yeah. 81400 is the number to text if you'd like to get in touch tonight. Be sure to start your messages with the word Express. You can email pompey@expressfm.com, tweet using @expressfm, or head to our Facebook page, facebook.com/PompeyLive. Now, after the break, we'll be continuing to go through your text, tweets and emails, picking apart the talking points from Tuesday night and hearing from Tottenham loanee Harvey White, who's looking to learn more from Kenny and Joe as he bids to become an important part of Pompey's promotion push.
The gaffer and Joe always say, don't get too high when everything's going well, and then don't get too low when it's all going bad, because we all know there's a game around the corner Tuesday, Saturday every week. So we knew games are going to come thick and fast, and we're going to win some, we're going to lose some, but most of all, we need to win a lot more.
So join the three of us very shortly for even more passionate Pompey discussion right here on 93.7 Express FM. You're listening to the Friday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome back to part two of tonight's Football Hour here on the only radio station from the great waterfront city, Express FM. This season, the show is being driven to you by Stagecoach Across the South. Download the app now to view timetables, fares and the latest COVID-related guidelines. I'm joined this evening by Tom Malley and Rob Calcutt, who join me over the phone to pick apart all the talking points from Tuesday's victory over Oxford United. The first time Pompey have done that since August 2014. That win put the Blues back up to fourth in the League One table with 17 matches to play. Tom, we're going to throw straight back to you with this question. I've seen a lot of tweets and a lot of Facebook statuses after the game on Tuesday night in regards to Craig McGilvery. Now, in the final few minutes of that game in midweek, a very nervy ending. Oxford somehow found the opportunities to get forward and really batter Pompey's goal. Craig McGilvery with three excellent saves to keep Pompey in that match. And the question I'm going to ask to you, and this is based upon, like I say, the interaction I've seen throughout the week, so not necessarily opinion of mine, but some that I have seen. Is Craig McGilvery Pompey's best goalkeeper since David James?
Yes. I had to think about that, but yeah, I think so. I think his performances have shown it, even if it's, you know, I know he had years in the Championship, but just because we're in League One doesn't mean this is one of the best keepers we've had. And I do think so. His saves were absolutely outstanding. And, you know, at the end of the day, he won us the game, in my opinion. Yeah, it was a good team performance out on the pitch. But between the sticks, he absolutely, you know, he won us that game. And those saves just sort of, you know, you see them and you'll see why. They were not just sort of easy saves to make. These were sort of last minute heat at the moment, straight in there, coming off his line, getting his body in front of the ball. And it just shows why he's got that number one spot back. And it is his for definite, I think. Yeah.
An all-round great goalkeeper as well, Rob, it's got to be said. A real cat in between the sticks. He's quick to react to shots coming in from close range as well. He's you know, good at, you know, diving in those, you know, real tight positions into his net as well. But he's also commanding. He's very vocal, and he's got the mentality, as Tom just mentioned there, towards the dying embers of the game. Pompey only holding on to a one goal advantage to keep Blues in that match. Some saying he could have been man of the match, and I couldn't totally disagree with that. You know, in those final few minutes in injury time, he first saved a long range effort from Anthony Ford. He then denied Olamide Shadipo by closing him down to deny him from close range, and then he tipped over a Matty Taylor header. So yeah, three important saves right at the death. Would you go alongside with Tom in saying that he is the best goalkeeper at this club in probably a decade or so?
Yeah, I completely agree. I think he was man of the match the other night. As Tom said, it was a good overall team performance on the pitch, but those final few minutes where, if you really want to grind out a win, you've got to be at your best to stop those opportunities, and he did three times in a very short space of time. And I agree, he's a very commanding player. Whenever I've seen him play, he's always shouting and directing his defenders you know, to help keep the goal protected. I think I would almost say captain material if it wasn't for Tom Naylor ahead of him with the armband. But yeah, I think he definitely is the best keeper Pompey's had in a long, long time.
Yeah. Paul O'Neill on Facebook's got in touch. Good win, and hopefully this is the start of a proper one, he says, and continues by saying that Harvey White is a class act. Defence still far too shaky, and Watmore's got to come back soon, says Paul O'Neill there on Facebook. Alan Swift on the emails. It was good to get a win. It always is, even if it was from a midfielder and not from the forward combination, which had never been good enough for the last 3 or 4 years. I rest my judgment until a 5 or 6 match winning run may be pushing us up to third place. They failed in the last 3 or 4 years, and there's been nothing to change my mind this time. Even when they play allegedly a 4-4-2, there's never two recognised strikers in the mix. The management duo are defensively dour, with that even failing at times. P.S. There's a run of tough games coming up soon, so they'll need to get their acts right up together. We may not even make third place. Alan now turned very realistic, he says, in Southsea on the emails there. And Tom, touching upon Alan's email there, he mentions about, yes, it's a great win on Tuesday night, a real statement for Pompey of their intent in League One this season. But until we do get that, you know, winning run of games going, are you still maybe on the side of the fence? But given, you know, the experiences of the last 2 or 3 campaigns where Pompey have fallen short at the last hurdle, are you still feeling that little bit of, you know, unconfidence of Pompey actually getting over the line this time around? Or do you think something's actually changed?
I think it has changed, but we've still left ourselves in a difficult position because we're still 6 points off the top two. And I feel like we could be, with the form that Lincoln and Peterborough, and we could be chasing that 6-point gap for quite a few weeks yet. And it could come, you know, right down to the final few game weeks. But I think we're definitely better drilled this season than we were last season, but we're still making the same mistakes. And sort of look, I've just had a quick look at our fixture list coming up. We've got a tough run of games, and that, I think, next 5 is season defining because of the opponents we got. But I would feel more confident that we could get promotion this season than last, but we've still got that 6-point gap to chase.
Yeah. Stephen Jerome on the emails got in touch as well. Good evening to you, Stephen. Hi lads, it was so important we got back to winning ways on Tuesday night against Oxford, a much needed win. I thought it was a much better performance from Pompey, and it actually looked like we went out onto the pitch wanting to win, despite us not getting the breakthrough in the first half. We played some good football in the second, and it was great to get that early goal we needed just after the break. I thought Harvey White had a very good game, and he thoroughly deserved his goal. I was getting rather nervous towards the end though. Watford really piled under pressure in those last few minutes, and I think it's fair to say they threw everything except the kitchen sink at us. But we dealt with it well, and huge credit must go to the goalkeeper because he pulled off three big saves towards the end to earn us all 3 points. Just shows that in this league, anyone can beat anyone. If there is only one aspect of the game that I feel needs criticism, is that Hawula was brought on far too late again. I feel he's not being given a fair crack of the whip, and it's a waste of a fantastic player with great talent, which is a real shame. But getting the win is the important thing, and we have to push on now and go on a run and try to close the gap on the teams above us. Keep the faith, play at Pompey, says Steve Jerome in Southsea. Rob, again, referring back to that email and the point regarding Jordi Hawula. Yes, it was a win for Pompey on Tuesday night, but nonetheless, more aggravation towards the fact that Jordi Hawula not quite getting the minutes, but maybe he deserves as a player, as the goals that he has scored this season have suggested. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I do agree. I don't know what he's got to do to actually get more game time. I don't, is it something training or... I don't know at all, but I do agree that he is being brought on far too late. I think the 4-4-2 formation that Pompey play is the most effective formation. I think putting Marcus up top, you've got to give him another striker so he can hold up the ball and flick it onto them and create an opportunity. But I think Jordi Hawula has got so much pace and strength and power that he can do real damage, and I just don't think he's been given enough time to prove that.
Yeah, and talking about Pompey's 4-4-2 on Tuesday night then, Tom, it was Ellis Harrison partnered alongside Ronan Curtis, which allowed Harvey White to drift onto that. Joe Gallen mentioned it as more of a left side, but coming into an attacking midfielder role as opposed to more of a winger situation. But it allowed Harvey White onto that left-hand side, Ronan Curtis up top with the striker. Would you say that Ronan Curtis is possibly the answer to that 4-4-2 formation, either alongside Marquis or Harrison? Or would you like to see an actual certified striker such as Jordi Hawula partnered with another?
I think if he's partnered Curtis with Harrison, so I'm now interested to see how it would work when he partners Curtis with Marquis. But I'm not quite sure the decision on putting him up front, what that's behind. But I think, in my opinion, and I think a lot of people would agree, that on paper, Ronan Curtis is the best player in the team, or at least should be. And I wonder whether it just got to a stage where they're sort of trying new things and they think, let's put the best player up front, see what damage he can do, which is fair enough. And I think Curtis can is more than capable of filling the role. But I think I would rather see him with Marquis, because Marquis is more guaranteed to score goals. But I think Curtis up front is new and it's exciting. And, you know, why not? I think go for it. He's got the potential. So let's see how he does.
Steve Carter and Nick May both disagree on Facebook. They don't believe that Ronan Curtis is the answer to Pompey's question of a second striker. But Tony Little says that he was signed as a striker from Derry and had never been given a run in that position for Pompey. And I'd like to see him given a chance there. Tony on Facebook giving his thoughts in regards to Ronan Curtis. Rob, same question to you really, mate. Ronan Curtis alongside Harrison, would you like to see him retain that position on Saturday against Gillingham, or would you like to see someone else come into the frame?
I'd much prefer a out-and-out striker instead. I don't think he was too bad the other night, but I think... I know, obviously, he came from Derry and was signed as a striker, but I think he's more deadly when he's on that left wing and he cuts inside or he gets those crosses in. I don't think he looked very comfortable up top with Ellis the other evening. I think he's much better suited out on the left wing or left midfield. I prefer to see Marquis and Hawula, or Harrison and Hawula, or Marquis and Harrison. I think two proper strikers is what we need up front.
Yeah. Bradley Saunders has tweeted in, lose to Bristol Rovers and Blackpool, then go away to a side that hasn't lost a home since December and nick a win. File that win under the typical Pompey category, says Bradley Saunders on Twitter. Freddie Webb, far from perfect, but Pompey got the 3 points. The last 5 minutes probably took years off my life. But Gilvery, easy man of the match with those last minute saves. Both statistically and eye test, he's the best keeper in the league. Now on to Saturday, Freddie Webb on Twitter. And a final one from Jeff Harris says, we got what we needed, which was a vital win to build confidence. It wasn't pretty towards the end and could have been a draw if it wasn't for Mac G at the end. But it's important to build on this for Saturday and get another victory. And hope results continue to go our way, says Jeff Harris there on Twitter. And if like those three, you want to get your thoughts across to the fan base, you can simply text your name and message starting with the word Express to 81400, or you can send an email to pompey@expressfm.com. include @expressfm within your tweets, or visit facebook.com/pompeylive. We're after your thoughts on Tuesday's win at Oxford, whether or not you believe there is room for both Ronan Curtis and the soon-returning Michael Jacobs in this Pompey team, and your score predictions for tomorrow's visit of Gillingham to PO4. But before we get to any more of those, we're going to hear from Spurs loanee Harvey White, who summed up his emotions following his first ever professional start and first ever professional goal in the midweek win at Oxford.
Oh, I'm over the moon. Obviously, getting the 3 points and then scoring my first senior goal in my first start in the league, it's amazing. I've been working hard for this like since I was six. It was my dream to play in the league and score and win, to be fair. Oh, it's a dream come true.
What exactly were the emotions going through your head when you saw the ball hit the back of the net?
To be fair, I didn't see the ball hit the back of the net. I've literally, ball's come across, headed it. Obviously, I'm running across the goal. I've got a little push or something, and I see the ball bounce. I didn't even see it hit the net, and I just thought it must have gone in, and celebrated. Oh, no. Oh, it's just an amazing feeling. All the lads celebrated as well with me. It just made it even special. And then winning, holding on to the 3 points, which we knew was a massive game. Obviously, losing two in a row, we had to come here and win. Tough place to come here and get the 3 points.
And it was a lovely header from yourself as well. Are you known for your headers? Do you score many of them?
Not really. All I know my headers for is second balls, but I didn't know I had that in my locker. But yeah, we'll see in the future if I can score more.
What was your reaction when you found out that you were going to get your first start tonight? Did you see this as a big opportunity for yourself?
Yeah, definitely. Every time I get on the pitch, it's an opportunity. Obviously didn't play in my position, my normal position, centre midfield, but so Gaffer gives me and Joe gives me the confidence to go and play, or I'll do a job anywhere. And that's what I felt. I was thinking to myself, just go out there, perform and get the 3 points. And hopefully I've done that.
And after two defeats as well, it was important to bounce back. What's the mood been like in the training ground over the course of the week and you know, in preparation for this game?
We've been fine, to be fair. The Gaffer and Joe always say don't get too high when everything's going well, and then don't get too low when it's all going bad, because we all know there's a game around the corner Tuesday, Saturday every week. So we knew games are going to come thick and fast, and we're going to win some, we're going to lose some, but most of all we need to win a lot more.
Yep. And going forward, what's next for you as a squad and for you as a player?
For the squad, obviously keep winning, onto the next game, don't look too far forward. Obviously try and get up the league as much as possible, and then for me personally, just keep working hard, keep working on my game. Obviously I didn't know I had that in my locker, so it's something that I haven't really worked on, but now I can keep working on it, getting in the box and scoring. I should have scored another one, but yeah, just look back at the game, see what I could have done better, see what I've done well at, and then keep improving on the things I've done well at, and then improve on the things I could have done better at. So that's literally my mindset.
A very well-spoken Harvey White there, speaking to the club's media team following Tuesday's win. And despite his age, his inexperience, Rob, he comes across very well in that interview, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. He sounds absolutely delighted. Obviously, it's his first senior appearance and his first goal. And his attitude off the pitch was the same on the pitch. As I said earlier, I thought he was one of the best players in the team. And I think that's the sort of enthusiasm and spark you need in this sort of team that is looking for promotion. And he's working hard and he's proven it on the pitch.
Mm. And we've seen him in short periods so far this season since signing him on loan, Tom Harvey White. But his first start on Tuesday night, he's looking like a very good player, and unlikely that Pompey will secure his signature on a permanent basis in the summer. We know that Tottenham actually rate him very, very highly, so we're going to have to make use of what we've got this season and really utilise him to the best of his abilities, because he can play in that central midfield role. Unfortunately, at the moment, with the form of both Tom Naylor and Andy Cannon, unlikely to get into that position. But on the left-hand side, certainly gives Pompey another option and a great outlet too.
Yeah, just like you said, he's very highly rated at Tottenham. And, you know, again, like you said, and I've said this as well, I think because of the form of Naylor and Cannon this season, I think Jacket has been too scared to risk dropping one of them. And I think because he's such wasted talent on the bench, I think sticking him in left mid is just sort of a way to just get him out on the pitch and, you know, give him an opportunity to show what he can do. He is very young, he's very talented, clearly even more hungry to impress on the pitch because of his limited minutes. Give him his first start, he scores a goal and wins the game. So, you know, it's there for the taking for us, really. If we use him to his advantage, you know, it could be a key to us, you know, picking up more points, him winning more games for us, and ultimately helping us to get promotion.
Yeah. Josh Sweetman tweeted in after the game on Tuesday night. He said, "But Ellis Harrison's second half was exactly the player we need him to be. Ran the channels, held it up, and got others on the ball as well. A million miles from his poor first half performance, Mark was a menace when he came on and didn't give them a chance to breathe with his energy. Tonight also showed why Lee Brown has to start. Solid defensively, but it gives us so much more energy going forward, something Daniels doesn't have the legs for. Curtis up front can work, but only when Jacobs returns. Rasmus getting 10 times better with every game." The opinion of Josh Sweetman there on Twitter. And his point there, Rob, about Ellis Harrison and his performance, particularly in the second half, yes, certainly an improvement than we have seen in previous games. Unfortunate not to get the goal that maybe his efforts perhaps deserved, but certainly a stronger performance from him.
Yeah, very much so. I do like Ellis Harrison ever since he joined the club. I think he's got really good pace, really good finishing as well. And you could see the other night he was working hard, trying to get on the score sheet. Track back to with Brodin Curtis joining him up top. I think if there was a proper striker like Marquis, as we've seen in the past when they played up top together in that 4-4-2, I think he's a lot more lethal and a lot more prolific in front of goal. But yeah, I'm glad to see he's getting back to his usual form, which he's a very dangerous player to have.
Yeah. Peter on Twitter says, "But Curtis may well turn out to be Pompey's best option, but we should at least try the actual striker we have in Jordi Huwula before playing someone out of position," says Peter on Twitter. And Alan Swift got back in touch on the emails. He says, "Hi Jake, I think the best top two are Huwula and Marquis, two genuine goal scorers, with Curtis out wide left. Curtis and Ellis did not work. Cheers," says Alan in Southsea on the emails there. Okay, after the break, we'll be continuing the Blues chat by moving on to preview the next fixture, which is at home tomorrow afternoon against Gillingham. Myself, Tom and Rob will be back in just a few moments to look ahead to that game, and we'll also hear from Connor Mosley, who provides us with a closer look at the Gills. Keep those messages coming in to us, Pompey fans. We're now asking for your score predictions for this weekend's game. Get in touch by following either of the usual methods, and if you don't know them by now, head over to expressfm.com to find out just how you can get in touch. We'll be back very shortly for the conclusion of tonight's Football Hour on Express FM.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Good evening and welcome back for the third and final time tonight to the Football Hour here on Express FM. Brought to you by Stagecoach across the South, getting you across the great waterfront city and all across the South Coast safely, quickly and reliably. And remember, but if you must use public transport, please only do so for essential reasons and ensure you have a face covering applied for your entire journey. The time is now 6:45, which means you have just under 15 minutes to get in touch with the panel this evening. Would you like to see Jack Watmore come in to tighten Pompey's defence this weekend, or do Sean Raggett and Rasmus Nicolaisen both deserve to remain in the team following a clean sheet on Tuesday? Is Ronan Curtis currently the Blues' best option as a second striker? And what do you predict the outcome of tomorrow's game to be? Send in your score predictions between now and 7 o'clock. Text Express followed by your name and message to 81400. Tweet at ExpressFM. Email Pompey at expressfm.com or go to facebook.com/PompeyLive. And we're going to begin our look ahead to tomorrow's game by handing you over to Connor Mosley, who has the lowdown on Gillingham.
After the midweek win at the Kassam Stadium, the Blues are back on home turf for match day 30. And this time out, they take on the only Football League team based in Kent. That's Gillingham.
Pompey Live, this week's opposition.
Pompey will be looking to claim only their seventh home league victory of the season this time around when they host the Gills at PO4. Kenny Jackett's side have lost as many as they've won in their last 16 home fixtures so far, drawing the other four. Here's what we know heading into kick-off about this week's opponents, Gillingham.
Manager.
Outspoken boss Steve Evans remains in charge of the club, who appointed him in the summer of 2019. Since then, the 58-year-old has overseen 30 wins from 82 competitive fixtures, securing a win percentage of 36.6%. The Scotsman had previously managed the likes of Boston United, Crawley Town and Leeds United throughout a managerial career so far spanning 27 years, starting out at non-league Stamford in 1994. Honours as a gaffer include winning the Conference on two separate occasions and also the League One playoffs with Rotherham United in 2014, just 1 year on from guiding the Millers to automatic promotion from League Two.
One to watch.
29-year-old striker Verdane Oliver is one to keep an eye on this weekend. The former York City, Morecambe and Northampton Town frontman has contributed to 10 goals for his relatively new side, whom he signed for back in August, scoring 5 goals and 5 assists. If you're watching this game on iFollow, Oliver will be the man wearing the number 19 shirt for the Gills.
Top scorer.
Gillingham have two players tied 7 goals each in the league so far this season. Those players go by the names of Jordan Graham and former Blues forward John Akinde. 25-year-old midfielder Graham has 4 assists to his name, whilst 30-year-old Akinde has just the 2.
Current form.
The Gills are on an odd run of form recently, having won 3, lost 3 and drawn 1 of their last 7 league matches. Overall, they sit 15th in the table after picking up 40 points from 30 games, comfortably 13 points safe of relegation and just 9 points off the top 6, though many teams above them have a couple of games in hand. Away from home, Steve Evans' side are doing pretty well. Gillingham are 9th in the away table, winning 6 and drawing 6 from 14 matches on the road. Can the Blues secure back-to-back victories? Will they claim 3rd place come the full-time whistle? All of the unmissable action on Pompey Live.
A closer look there at the Gills, Pompey's next opponents at Thratton Park. Tom Malley and Rob Calcutt back into the conversation now here on the Football Hour. Pompey hosting Gillingham at Thratton Park tomorrow. Rob, a bit of a bogey side in recent seasons for the Blues, hoping to put that behind them on Saturday.
Yeah, as we heard, the Gillingham have been on a bit of a weird run of form. Lost one. They lost their last one, so hopefully this won't be a win for them tomorrow. But yeah, as you say, they are a bit of a bogey team. But they're currently 15th in League One, so it should be an easy win on paper. But you never really know with Pompey, do you?
No, not at all. Paul O'Neill on Facebook's got back in touch. The only changes I'd make is bring Watmore back. We must go out and hammer Gillingham and make a statement. No excuses. Play at Pompey, says Paul O'Neill on Facebook there. And in regards to Jack Watmore then, Tom, someone we haven't seen too much of over the past couple of weeks, of course. He's served a 3-game suspension beforehand. It's got to be said, he was on a little bit of a turgid run of form, but he's come back from suspension, but still not featured for Pompey. Is this something that confuses you? Because I know that a lot of the fans are questioning, where is Jack Watmore? Why is he not being brought back into the fold? Is he someone you'd like to see back in the starting 11 tomorrow, or do you think that Sean Raggett and Rasmus Nicolaisen deserve to remain?
I think now is the time of season where you need to have your best players on the pitch at all times, and he is the best defender, our best centre-back. So, yeah, I would put him straight back into the team. I think he was, obviously, like you said, he had that 3-match suspension, and then in that time, James Bolton had a couple of cracking games. And I think Watmore found it difficult to dislodge him again, and he's had to be patient and wait his turn, but you know, I think Jackett will throw him straight back in at some point. I mean, because like I said, he's the best defender on the pitch for us, and he's solid, and I'd have him in there any day of the week. So hopefully we'll see him make a return.
Yeah, and it goes to show, Rob, as well, that Kenny is being ruthless this season. It doesn't matter who you are. You know, Ronan Curtis, Jack Watmore, even John Marquis, has got to be said, they are probably the 3 names you'd probably look at it and say they are the biggest assets within this squad, the kind of the top names within this team. But it goes to show that this season, Kenny, he's not holding back. He will drop these players if they need to be dropped, if they're coming back from suspension and they can't get straight back into the team because other players are performing well. They're going to have to wait patiently, as Tom said. Is this the kind of man management that Pompey have been after this season?
I think so, yeah. I think the players, especially if you're pushing for promotion, you've got to know that if you're not good enough, then you won't be starting. And that's up to you to then impress in training, or if you do get a cameo off the bench or something like that, then you give 100%. I am a bit surprised to see Jack Watmore still being left out. I agree with Tom that you do need your best players. But I think when you look at Nicolaisen and Braggett the other night, they were pretty solid for the majority of the game. And Nicolaisen does seem to be getting better and better each game. So maybe partnering him with Watmore would be an interesting choice and a solid one. But I'm just happy I don't have to make that decision at the end of the day, because I wouldn't know what to do.
Yeah. And we mentioned as well, Tom, about Gillingham being that bit of a bogey team for Pompey. Just one win for Pompey in the last six league meetings with them. And you'll have to go way back to the Division 1 title winning season in 2003, 18 years ago, for Pompey's last home league victory over the Gills. Quite the unwanted record Pompey will be looking to put behind them this weekend. Do you think it's possible, or are you of the belief, do you have that kind of suspicion that Gillingham might come back to haunt Pompey again?
Yeah, of course it's possible, absolutely. But then again, I would have said that for the past three home games we've played against Gillingham. And I was all three of them, and poor performances all around, to be honest. And like I said already, they're a bogey team. But that run has got to come to an end at some point, and I'm confident we can do it at home. We've already beaten them away from home this season. They're mid-table side. There's nothing really going for them. Put our best players out, put a performance in like we did on Tuesday, and there should be 3 points in the bag.
Yeah. And speaking of unwanted records, Rob, another one which absolutely blows my mind. Rather the opposite of outstanding. Pretty poor on Pompey's case. Pompey haven't won a league match, Rob, in which they've conceded the first goal since Easter Monday of 2019. It's been nearly 2 years since the Blues won a league fixture, having conceded that first goal. That is incredible. That is a long, long time without achieving such a feat. And for a promotion-chasing side, you need to find ways to win football matches from any given position, from being behind at the break, level at the break, winning at the break. You need to find these different ways of winning games. And unfortunately, Pompey, seemingly unable to come back into these matches after they go behind. What do you pinpoint that down to?
A horrible stat, that, isn't it?
Terrible.
I think you look at the quality of this team, and when you do get those scenarios where you are 1-0 down at half time, you have to find a way to win. Especially if you want to get promotion, you just have to. Otherwise, we're going to be stuck in League One forever. I think the players have got to have a bit more belief in them. I think that, yes, we've got close twice in the last two seasons, but that obviously means that there is the potential to get promoted. 100% is. They've just got to, work together and work extra hard if they are 1-0 down in order to get the win. And I do remember that Coventry. Was it the Coventry game? I think Hawula scored in that game as well, actually, yeah. For Coventry. the Brett Pittman goal late on. And that was great, because it was, game was completely turned around by Pompey. Fans were loving it. And it gave us a good run in towards the end of the season. Unfortunately, we did miss out on promotion in the end. But it's those sort of wins that they do spark momentum and huge belief in the squad.
Yeah. And this season in particular, 17 games, Pompey have been either level or behind at half-time, Tom. Tuesday, that marked only Pompey's third victory from those positions. So 14 times this season, Pompey have either been behind or level at half-time. And only 3 times have they gone on to win those matches. 14 times they've gone on to not win those matches. So once again, emphasising that Pompey, when they go behind in games, when they're not, leading at the break, heads seem to drop a little bit, confidence maybe dipping, Pompey unable to find a win from those positions.
Yeah, that's another outrageous stat. I don't know how we sort of managed to create these ones for ourselves. But I remember the last time I was on this show and we were reviewing the Plymouth game where we came from 2-0 down, and I said that what I liked about clawing back from 2-0 down to 2-2 is that there was the capability and the potential in this team to come back from those positions. So it is there. We just need to find ways of unlocking it more often. Yeah. And, you know, if you can come from behind to get draws or wins, more importantly, you know, you will be successful in some ways. So I'm hoping that that horrendous stat doesn't get added to or continue for any more of the season. But the capability's there.
Yeah. Stephen Jerome on the emails got back in touch. He says, I'm feeling very confident for tomorrow against Gillingham. Got to go for a 3-1 Pompey win, Stephen Selsey. And finally, Roger in Gosport. I sometimes don't agree with some of Kenny Jackett's methods, but I don't see the lads in training also. 3-1 win for Pompey tomorrow. Keep the faith, Roger in Gosport. OK, we've had a couple of score predictions there from the fans back home. Tom Malley, first of all, your score prediction. Pompey taking it on Gillingham tomorrow. What are you going for?
Play like we did on Tuesday and it'll be a win. I'm going to say 2-0.
2-0 win, says Tom. Rob Calcutt, what are you going for? Pompey, bogey team, Gillingham. Are we going to get that first league victory over the Gills in almost 18 years?
I think so. I'm going to go with a 2-1 win. I think we'll take the lead and then we'll get another late goal and then they'll get a late goal, because that seems to be a common occurrence at Fratton Park recently. Yep. Teams get a late goal. I don't think we'll keep a clean sheet, but I do think we'll get a win for sure.
And I'm going to go for a 2-0 Pompey win as well. Tom, Rob, thank you both for your company this evening. Been great to hear from you both. Have a great weekend and stay safe. Well, that's all we've got time for this evening here on the Football Hour, but I'll be back with Liam House and Ryan Stillwell live from Fratton Park tomorrow afternoon for full coverage of the Blues' next match. The visit of Gillingham to the South Coast will be right here on Express FM from 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. Be sure to join us here on Pompey Live.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
Portsmouth have found a way yet again.
This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Pompey Live.
The Blues got back to winning ways on Tuesday night. A 1-0 away win at Oxford was the perfect response to last week's results. Next up, the Blues are back at Fratton for more league action. Gillingham are the visitors. Join us for all of the unmissable action this Saturday from 2. Pompey versus Gillingham is right here on Pompey Live.
Pompey Live on Express FM with Aqua Cars.
Don't miss that one. Match day number 30 for the Blues. They host Gillingham at Fratton Park, looking to make it consecutive league victories and try and really claw back some points and some positions from those top two in League One. There's a long way to go, Pompey fans. It's certainly going to be a thrilling end to this League One season. OK, coming up here on Express FM, Connor Mosley is back after the 7 o'clock news with Express Floor Fillers. He's going solo this evening and he's playing the biggest tunes to get you ready for the weekend. He's here until 11 o'clock tonight, when we've got just great songs all weekend long with constant Express Floor Fillers through until 2 a.m. on Saturday morning, when we've got a repeat of the victory years for 2 hours. Just great songs from the 70s, 80s and 90s, if you're awake between 2 and 4 a.m. that is. Saturday Breakfast with Ian McGuinness from 8 a.m. tomorrow. Join Ian for Saturday Breakfast, including non-stop 80s, 4 from 40 from 1992. Movies Update with John Brown, a delicious random top 5, and the latest news, sport, weather and local travel for Portsmouth 2. And then Lily Park is back between 11 and 2 o'clock. Saturday fun with more great songs, the Tiny Quiz and, of course, a couple of weekend bangers. And then from 2 p.m. it's the return of Pompey Live. The Blues host Gillingham at Fratton Park, match day number 30 of this League One season. Join us for all of the unmissable action tomorrow afternoon. But until then, have a great evening, stay safe, enjoy your weekend, and play up Pompey. Good night.